Fuck off, wanker.
Whoa! Language! Language! Hey, what's up? It's Da Huff. I hope you're having a great day. Welcome to the show! The shit show! Yeah!
Fuck off, wanker.
I love that show. That's from The Boys. That's Billy Butcher. Anyway, hope you're having a great day. Make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And remember, today's show is presented to you by High Society Cannabis Dispo and Lounge, as well as Bet Online. In fact, Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right up to the top fights in UFC and MMA, and of course, boxing. Every stat, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. And when the game's over, head on over to their online casino, get in on the game of blackjack or poker, and you can even unwind with one of their over 150 slot games. Go to betonline.ag right now. Get in on all the action. Use promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. How cool is that? Bet Online, the game starts here. And before we jump into headlines, I got to tell you, we're going to keep track of this. I've been interacting with Mike Evans of 104.3 The Fan, guy that I used to produce the show for, and I was their on-air comedy guy. I'd say dumb stuff. They would react. They'd say dumb stuff. I would react type of thing. It was fun. Anyway, I gave Mike a story that I'm actually going to use in this episode today. And then we're chit-chatting. And then he starts asking me about my son and how he did in baseball, blah, 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 blah. And I responded. Well, here's the funny thing about Mike, and you may know people like this. Shoot, you might be one of these people. He gets, like, you could text him or call him. And let's say it's at 9 o'clock in the morning. You call him, right, on a Saturday or whatever day of the week, okay? You call him, text him. He doesn't get back to you for maybe like 5 hours. Something crazy like that. It could be like 9 o'clock at night. He'll wait like 12 hours to respond. And that's perfectly acceptable in his mind. And for him, in a sense, it's good because he's not tied to his phone. He's doing other stuff around the house. He's just a busybody, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. He's not chained to it. But this is the irony. If he texts you or calls you, he expects you to respond within like a minute or two. Otherwise, he does this, and he's done it to Mark Schlereth too. He'll just respond back. He'll send you a text, ask you a question. And then if you don't respond in, let's say 5 minutes, he'll respond with this. Hello, are you there? Please respond. And it could be something that's not even really important. And it's the fact that it's not just me and the fact that it's somebody like Mark Schlereth, he does the same thing, just makes me feel a little bit better about the situation. But it's like, I don't know if you guys ever do that. But I'm kind of the same way. If I text you, I expect you to respond back, and it irritates the snot out of me. I expect you to go, oh, Da Huff just texted me. Got to respond back. Even if it's like, hey, I'm busy, let me respond later. Okay? That's fine. I'd like that. But I hate when I ask somebody a question and then it takes like a day or two. Because in my mind, the world revolves around me, not you. Your life will stop when I ask it to. Everything ceases to move move forward until you respond to my text. It's so fun. I'm really bad about that, but I don't respond back like Mike does. Mike is a total, I hate to say it, but here we go. Total cunt move.
C-word alert.
Hey, this is what's going to happen. One of you guys is going to reach out to Mike via the text line at the radio station and be like, hey, Da Huff was talking about you today. You should take a listen. Then he's going to listen and he's going to be like, wait, he called me a cunt. Oh, my goodness.
C-word alert. C word alert.
Anywho, you know what we need to do now? Let's jump into some headlines.
Let's go!
And now, here are the headlines.
I love this guy. Snoop Dogg is one of the coolest individuals on the planet. And if I had an opportunity to just hang out with just about anybody famous, I think it would be Snoop Dogg. By the way, Mike Evans just responded to me, and I'm not going to respond to him until after this podcast. We'll see if he keeps sending me messages. Anyway, but Snoop, if I could hang out with anybody that was famous on the planet right now, it'd be Snoop Dogg. I think he would just be a chill dude to hang out with. And like he just seems like he has a good sense of humor, and he's probably got really good weed, let's be honest. Anyway, why am I talking about Snoop Dogg? The U.S. Olympic trials are going on, and legendary rapper Snoop Dogg stole the show. Of course he did, because everybody loves Snoop Dogg. It's so wild when you think about where he was, 30 years ago, whatever? I mean, he's like 52 now. So him, 30, 40 years ago, you know, people probably, he's a rapper. He's dangerous and he's black. Oh my God, we're going to freak out as a society. And then he just punched through, did his thing, and was authentic to himself and everybody around him. And guess what? He's just bursted through, and it doesn't matter what it is, Snoop Dogg, if he touches it, it turns to gold. It's so cool. He is the most likable celebrity out there that I can think of. There was Betty White. She passed away. Now it's Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg's the new Betty White, and it's awesome. You just get a smile on your face. Anyway, so he stole the show, and they were doing a 200-meter exhibition race for the Olympic trials here in the U.S., and he busted out a 34.44 run. I don't know if that's good. Snoop came out and said 34.44 for a 52-year-old? That ain't bad. I mean, he's saying it about himself, but I'm guessing he's right. I don't think I could do that. Although I was looking at the pictures, I didn't see a video of him, and he had a big old grin on his face as he's running. He probably wasn't running that hard. He probably could have done better, but he didn't need to pull something. God, that would suck. Because he's headed to Paris for the Olympics, and he's going to be a special correspondent for NBC's primetime games coverage alongside Olympics host Mike Tirico, which he's a great dude too. I've talked to him a few times. He's very professional, very kind to individuals on and off the air, not like some people that I've discussed. So he's a good dude. I can't wait to see what Snoop brings to the table, because he's going to be himself, right? He's not going to try to be giving hardcore analysis. Nobody wants that from Snoop. We want this from Snoop Dogg. This is him calling the steeplechase just the other day.
Well, we're about to see right now. They're about to get to dipping, ripping, riding, slipping, and hopefully not sliding, jumping over this hurdle in the water. Oh, get up out of there. Oh, they're coming behind him 7-8 deep like horses. I love it. Bunched in and they're running slow, but oh, he's jumping on the top of the hurdle. You can do that? That was a cold trick right there. I like that one. He went off the tippy top.
Tippy top. I like that because it's just him, and he's giving an honest reaction to it. Just like, to be honest, I'm watching the video of the racers, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know they could do that. And sure enough, Snoop says the same thing. So I think he's kind of the everyman type of thing, where he's not, and this isn't an insult, he's just like most of us watching the Olympics. He might not be fully educated on all the ins and outs of a particular event. And I'm fine with that. I like that. It's honesty. Nothing wrong with honesty. I think that's cool. And I can't wait to see what he brings. As long as they don't sit there and just use him as a little, you know, a token piece, be like, let's go down to Snoop Dogg and see what he has to say about this. You know, and just be like, they're giggling at his lack of knowledge of a certain thing. That would bug the snot out of me, but I can't imagine they're going to do that, but fuck, you never know. You never know, but good for Snoop. There is nothing that man can't do. He's got fucking cereal. He smokes weed like a damn chimney. And he's calling, you know, events at the Olympics. How cool. By the way, the Olympics start, just on July 26th, right around the corner. I'm excited. I love the Olympics. I love it because you can't sleep or something, and you just turn on the TV, and you can find some Olympics. It might, and what's nice is when it's like some obscure sport that you didn't know was a thing, right? Like the Winter Olympics, where they have guns and they're on skis. It's like, what? Okay, I get it. It's cool. So I like that. I like the Olympics. So that'll be neat. Now, keeping on with the Olympic trials, this is a wild story. This is the story that I actually sent to Mike Evans. And I'll tell you why I sent it to him here in a second, but less than an hour before her semifinal at the U.S. track trials, 400-meter runner Kendall Ellis was trapped in a porta potty. She was banging on the door, screaming for someone to help and let her out. Like, help out, please, God, I'm locked in a fucking porta potty. I got a race to go to. So she's like panicking. Finally, somebody let her out. I don't know how long she was in there, but enough to make it, panic worthy, okay? So here's what's wild. She goes, she won her race in a personal best time, then came back on Sunday to top that mark and win the final, along with the national championship and a spot in the Olympics that comes with it. That's pretty cool. This is what she said. Crazy things happen right before something great is about to occur. So maybe I needed to get all the nerves and adrenaline out. How freaking cool. This is a lady that I want to focus on. I am going to root for her just because I want that to be like the beginning of her chaotic, crazy, exciting story. She's been racing for a long time. And it would be neat if, like, you know, because as athletes get older, a lot of people are like, you know, are they done? Are they about to hit the door? And then she gets locked in a fucking porta potty, panics her heart out. Somebody finally lets her out. She's, you know, a bit shaken up, goes out there, gets a personal best record. And they're like, what the fuck? She comes out like a day or two later, goes out there and beats her record again. How cool. That's what makes the Olympics. Now, that being said, you know, they always have those little side stories about specific athletes and their journey. I hope to God they reenact that somehow. Come on, really. They have some, like, actor portraying whatever, Kendall Ellis, and they have her, like, you know, panicking because she just dropped a deuce. There's multiple reasons. One, she wants to get out, but she kind of wants to get out because it smells too. And she's like pounding on it. It's like tipping, almost falls over type of thing. Make it extra dramatic. And then finally the door swings open to some lone hero that heard her cries. And that person had like a crowbar and like popped open the door or something like that. She embraces them. And then she just takes a deep breath of clean air. Then she goes, immediately runs over to the racetrack and just goes, whips out, like, you know, a personal best. Oh, that'd be great. From the outhouse to the winner's circle, it's Kendall Ellis. Your, you know, 2024 U.S. Olympic champion, whatever. I don't know. That, I think that's cool. Very cool. So keep an eye out on her, Kendall Ellis. She got stuck in the shitter, and she escaped, and then she achieved greatness. See, kids? See, kids? Doesn't matter how life treats you. You can be stuck in the shitter for so long, consumed by stank, and the next thing you know, the door opens. It's your opportunity, and it's a matter of what you do right here, right now. And you either lace up those shoes and go out there and bust your ass, or, you know, stay in the shitter, stay in the stinky part of life. No, she went out there and she dominated. How cool. Good for her. That's like a after school special. That's one of those things. We talked about this lady the other day, and it's weird that I'm talking about her again, but it's from the same podcast interview. Ariana, isn't it Ariana? My son corrected me. I said Ariana or something like that, and he's like, no, it's Ariana Grande, because he has a crush on her. But anyway, she was on the podcast Pod Crushed, and they asked her something about, like, dead or alive, who would you want to have? Oh, wait, no. She's sharing a story. I'll just play the audio, and then we'll react to it.
Years ago, before the Dahmer series, before it was in a Q&A with fans, with young fans. It was young fans at the time. Mm-hmm. It was, like, I think it was, like, in between, like, me being Kat and pop stuff. So it was, like, a younger group. Okay. But it was with a parent. Someone said, if you could have dinner with anyone living or dead, who would it be? And I was like, oh, you're so cute. Who, mom and dad, is it okay if I give the real answer? And they were like, sure, I guess. What's the answer? And I was like, I mean, Jeffrey Dahmer's pretty fascinating. I think I would have loved to have met him.
Wow.
Like, you know, maybe with a third party or something. Yeah. But I have questions. I want to, I have a lot to, I don't know. I would love to. And the parents were like, we'll explain it later, sweetheart. And I was like,
so
I'll just sing Problem and go.
That's so funny. Now, a lot of people are mad that she said that. Okay. A classic social media. There's an uproar. The other day, her voice changed. Now she's talking about, you know, having dinner with Jeffrey Dahmer. She's the devil. She's the devil. Ah, burner. Ah. No, come on. The same people that are freaking out about Ariana Grande saying that she would have loved to sit down with Jeffrey Dahmer and have dinner with him are the same people that are hooked on those murder mystery podcasts, stuff like that, right? They can't get enough of Dateline NBC. When you think about it, now maybe it wasn't the time or place for her to say that, because apparently she was in a meet and greet type of thing with a bunch of smaller kids, but whatever. Is it going to traumatize those kids for the rest of their life? No. Is it going to traumatize them for a week? No. Is it going to traumatize them for a day? Maybe if they're a pussy. I don't know. But here's the thing. It would be fascinating if you just sat down there. It would be disturbing. Don't get me wrong. It'd be disturbing. But it would be fascinating. Because I've seen so many of these shows where, like joking around, but like Dateline NBC, and you sit there and go, what the fuck is their train of thought? These people that are just all of a sudden, the next thing you know, they're filleting somebody, and whether they eat them or not, or they're just, you know, just to have a glimpse of the mind of a serial killer would be fascinating. But I think ultimately, the more you learned, the more disturbing it would be. I don't think I would want to do that, but I get where she's coming from, where it would be fascinating. I joked around. If dead or alive, I think Nikola Tesla would have been fascinating, because he was somebody that was so brilliant and was always thinking outside the box. It would be fascinating to just shoot the shit with them and then see if all of a sudden that just kickstarted some new train of thought that would lead to genius. I think that would be fascinating. By the way, the more you read up on Tesla and how the government fucked him over and like took all his technology and shit, you're like, wait, what the fuck, man? And then basically made him go crazy. We don't need to go into it, but it's pretty jacked up. But I was joking, and what's fun, I'll follow up with this too, is I was joking and I said I would like to sit down with the CEO of Red Lobster and explain to him why his business failed, right? I think that'd be fascinating. What's funny is but I love their biscuits. A Red Lobster in Florida retweeted it. Let me find it. Hold on. Where is that one at? Oh, unless they realize what they did. Oh yeah, Red Lobster in Tampa, Florida reposted it. And it is maybe it's a fake one, but either way, no, it says, oh no, it's somebody that's their name. Ah, fuck. Boo. I was hoping it was some dumb Florida thing. They're like, we're a Red Lobster restaurant. And we just retweeted it. Boy, this is embarrassing. This is embarrassing for me, but guess what? I'm going to move on from it. Don't care. But I think that would be fascinating to sit down with somebody that your business is clearly failing. And then you're just like, you know, is it your fault? Because I imagine they'd be pointing the finger at a lot of other things other than, yeah, I made a lot of bad decisions, which I guess in a sense is normal. It's normal. By the way, circling back to the porta potty story, I forgot to tell you why I sent that to Mike Evans, because one, it's a funny story about the lady getting locked in the porta potty and then coming out and winning the championship essentially. But I was like, and I made a note to Mike. I said, remember, Schlereth fell asleep in a porta potty once. And that's what they're going to talk about tomorrow. They're going to bring it up tomorrow. And that's the story that Mike's going to, you know, try to get Stink to tell and then have some fun with it. And to ruin the story for you, Schlereth was doing some construction. I want to say he was in either high school or college, probably high school, trying to earn some extra cash. And he was exhausted. And he wanted, between practice, school, and work, he needed somewhere to take a nap. So he took a nap in the porta potty, which has got to be the most disgusting place to take a nap. I imagine, you'll have to tune in to find out. I imagine like he stuffed like toilet paper up his nose, so it wasn't as stinky. Because it's on a construction site. That can't smell good. No. Oh my God. Oh my God. That's so horrific. But if you've ever met Mark Schlereth, you go, you know what? It makes sense. You know what else makes sense is heading over to High Society Cannabis Dispo and Lounge. It's the first and only licensed cannabis bar in the state of Colorado. It works like an alcohol bar, but it's for cannabis. I've had several people come up to me on, actually it's more on social media and be like, dude, I just went over to High Society Cannabis Dispo and Lounge and like, dude, that's so cool. It's so relaxing. And you know, they got great product. They do have great product. And you can purchase up to an ounce of flower or 8 grams of concentrate. And they also have pre-rolls and edibles. And you can consume what you like and then take the rest home. And they provide everything you need to consume it with. High Society has 7 big screen TVs laid out for you. So you can catch your favorite sporting event. Maybe even host a watch party. They do that all the time. They did that for the Taylor Swift CD release like a couple months ago. They do it all the time. Very cool. And they also do like Nintendo Switch like parties, like Mario Mondays. And you can rent Nintendo Switches any day of the week and just hang out. They got tons of free board games, playing cards, coloring books, dominoes. And they got a quarter arcade with pinball machines, vintage Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, and more. It's just a great place to go and chill. They're open daily from noon to 10. Happy hour runs from noon to 4:20, Monday through Friday. And check this out. Thursdays is Ladies' Day, and ladies get 20% off all day. Say it with me. Hey! Yeah, ladies, you got it. You got it. High Society Cannabis Dispo and Lounge. It's just about 9 minutes from Coors Field. Open noon to 10. Got to be at least 21 or older to consume. No outside product. Just buy it there. High Society is at 7667 Washington Street. Just GPS to High Society. Before we get into the mailbag, this popped up just as I was getting the show going. And 9 News did a story. 9 News, KUSA here in Denver, posted the story. The Kansas City Chiefs are collaborating with Hallmark to make a holiday movie. What? It's going to be a Christmas movie. They announced it. What is today? They announced it late yesterday. The film is titled Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story. It's going to star Tyler Hines, Hunter King, and Ed Begley Jr. What? No Tay-Tay and Travis Kelce? Come on, if you really want a love story, you got one right there. Oh, Hallmark knows what's up. Then most likely they'll break up if they put them in the movie. So true. Andy Reid, who's heavy set, should play Santa Claus in some capacity. Or at least like it's his brother. Like Santa Claus is his brother or something like that. Or, you know, he's the bastard child of Santa Claus. That would be hilarious. Could you imagine? Let's see. I posted that on Twitter, at DeHuff Podcast. And, excuse me. Oh, my God. Oh, no. I just yawned. I'm not supposed to do that. I'm so unprofessional. Alligator Blood. That's a cool name. Twisted, but I like it. He said, The Nightmare Before Swiftmas. That's awesome. So awesome. I don't know if I like this. I mean, they'll make a shit ton of money, right? In a way, it's brilliant for Hallmark because they just make dog shit, love story, holiday movies all the time. And they get people to watch them. But this is a way to bring in the younger crowd, the crowd that doesn't really pay attention to Hallmark movies. So this is a good way to, you know, get the defibrillator on the holiday stories for Hallmark and see if they can pump some new life into it and maybe obtain a new audience. Because let's be honest. The people that watch that are depressed or they're elderly and they can't change the channel. And eventually those individuals are going to die off. So, you know, you got old people that are about to die. Sorry, that's the truth. Or you got sad people that are just like, I don't know. I'm never going to find love. Next thing you know, you got a Chiefs love story and it might brighten their day. Who knows? I don't know. It's interesting. I don't like it because I hate the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, if all of a sudden the Chiefs just, you know, if somebody went over to the Chiefs and kicked every single one of the Kansas City Chiefs players in the dick, I wouldn't be mad. I wouldn't be mad as a Bronco fan. I'd be like, they deserved it. But fuck them. Fuck the Chiefs. Oh, you know what we need to do? Let's jump into the mailbag.
Mailbag! You've got mail.
I've seen this story several times. And people have sent it to me a few times. Then finally today, I caved. I caved. Not Adam Carolla sent me in a link for this story. Like I said, I've read the story and I'm like, oh God, I don't know. It's just kind of gross and kind of sad. A Florida man sneezed while at a restaurant, and his intestines came out of his body, and it just went, you know, there's, it was just everywhere. He just had abdominal surgery like a month or two prior, and he just got the stitches removed. And somebody was reacting, I don't know where, on social media, maybe it was Reddit or whatever. They're like, he just had abdominal surgery. Why was he out at a restaurant? Well, here's the thing. He just had the stitches removed. And here's the thing. It's not like he was running around. I don't know what the doctor's suggestions were, but if he was at home and he sneezed, they're still coming out. And what I read on this is the doctor said he was healing nicely. And it just, that's horrible. Horrible. Imagine. There's two ways you can look at this. One, you're working at that restaurant, and all of a sudden you hear people screaming and some guy holding his guts in his hands. Oh, my God, how traumatizing. I'd be like, you know, fuck this. I don't get paid enough. Sorry. Or imagine you're there with, like, your kids or something like that, and then you're, like, next in the booth next to him or whatever, and all of a sudden you see he sneezes. Achoo! It's in his hands. Oh, my God, that's horrifying. That poor guy. Everything I've read, other than the social media comments, which I don't really care about those, everything I've read in the articles is he did nothing wrong, and he wasn't out of line for being at a restaurant. He just sneezed, and apparently it wasn't as healed as they thought it was, and then his guts start squirting out of his tummy. Oh, God! So thanks, not Adam Carolla, for sending that in, and yeah, I had to bend to that. I had to. Just wild, wild. So I told you guys the other day I was at Coors Field. Well, as we were leaving through security, I had to get my sunscreen because I accidentally brought a aerosol container and they had to hold it for me. And there's like 100 other ones there too. But anyway, I'm waiting for them to track down my sunscreen because I'm that cheap. I don't want to give up on my sunscreen. It was essentially a full bottle. But anyway, this guy is like getting high fives from everybody around him. And he's just like, I did it. I did it, man. Woo! 999! He did the 999 challenge at Coors Field. And if you don't know what that is, it's 9 innings where you consume 9 beers and 9 hot dogs. And he did it. I don't think I could do that. And he's just like, woo. You know, like I said, giving high fives. I'm talking to this one security lady. She's like, yeah, no. He's going to be regretting that on the drive home. He's going to be, you know, so upset at himself. So I mentioned, like, I maybe could do the 9 hot dogs. I think I could. But remember how I was talking the other day about a buddy that is a former competitive eater? He might still dabble in it. His name's Big Sexy. I used to work with him. His name's Brian, really. He responded and said, got to get like 4 or 5 of those beers in you before you start crushing those dogs. Dogs will soak up the brews and you'd have already broken the seal by that point. So he's saying you have to consume hot dogs if you want to be able to drink the beer. So it's like they go hand in hand. I think somebody needs to sponsor this. Let's do it. All right, somebody get Coors Field on the line. Let's see if we can encourage this. Or we get some other person sponsoring it, like Uber, or I'm not Uber's not going to do it. Like any company, be like that. Listen, that could be a one-off. That's the only time that you sponsor me is this. you pay for the beer and the hot dogs, and you give me a ride home. And then, you know, you just roll me out of the car, and I'll pass out in the grass. Where's Daddy? Oh, he's puking his guts out in the garden. That's so gross. I don't know if I could do it, but I kind of want to try it. I think that would be worth doing. You know, you get a couple buddies with you, like, okay, we got the hot dogs. You get a hot dog every inning, and then you get a beer. Their beers aren't small, but I want to try it. Let's do it. Somebody front the bill, and I'll do it with you, and we'll get a video going with it. I think it would be fun. And let me know, dehuffpodcast@gmail.com, or hit me up on my socials at dehuffpodcast. I'm serious. We'll do it. As long as I don't have to pay, because I'm a cheap motherfucker. Ding. Hey, you know what? Thank you guys so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it. Hopefully you laughed a little bit in this episode. Make sure you hit subscribe if you haven't done so. Big thanks to High Society Cannabis Dispo and Lounge. Just a great place to go chill and hang out. Also, big thanks to Bet Online. Go to betonline.ag. It's DeHuff Uncensored. Let's continue to move forward, folks. I'll talk to you next time.